Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
During the sabbatical, I had an opportunity to do some traveling, and as I did some traveling, there was one particular place that I went that was way off the beaten path, and I had traveled kind of all day, and I was really kind of hungry, and I stopped at this area is kind of trendy, and I went to get something to eat. And they didn't take cash, and they didn't take credit card. They only took an app, and you had to have this app. And I was like, what? What's with this? And then my kids, I talked to my son about it. He's like, yeah, that's how things are nowadays. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And they were like, well, you can use our Wi-Fi and download that app. But anyway, here's the point. And I'm not trying to say that this is what we're going to talk about today. But it made me think about something that is foretold in the future, about the inability to buy and to sell, the inability to take part in commerce unless you do it a specific directed way. So we left off talking of an interlude in Revelation chapter 12 with some history and some foretelling of Satan. We saw that it was the dragon, okay, this dragon Satan, and we have looked through the breaking open of these seven seals and the seven trumpets and these interludes that have happened, and now we're coming to the seven woes. And today I want to look at and kind of the end, about how this is all going to wind up, how this is all going to wrap up. We're going to see today an unholy trinity. You know that Satan's not very creative. He just tries to take the things that God has done and tries to distort them. So the dragon, of course, was desirous of God's throne. Today we're going to see two beasts, the Antichrist and the false prophet. And then we're going to see the expected end of them and the wonderful rewards. We're going to look at a couple different journeys here today. We've got a lot to cover, so fasten your seatbelts. Let's start in Revelation chapter 13, 1 through 8, and I'm going to freak you all out today. Here we go. Okay, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads and 10 diadems on its horns with blasphemous names on its head. Let's just pause right there. I'm going to talk through some of this. Now remember, we've talked that these heads and horns and diadems referred to not only this Antichrist, but also to government, and to nations, and to people who are in positions of authority who created an allegiance and an alliance against God. Let's go on to verse 2. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's. Its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and his great authority. So we see here that the Antichrist, or this global coalition, is empowered by the devil himself. And they will come against God's people and against Israel. He operates in a satanic influence. The Antichrist has received from the serpent this power. And his deception is no different than in the Garden of Eden. Satan always tries to deceive. Not only does he deceive us individually, but he tries to deceive the nations. Going on to verse 3. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. So in verse 3, we see that this Antichrist will appear to have recovered from some type of a massive blow that nearly killed him. This could be a literal wound. It could be a figurative wound, such as a political issue. We're not knowing. But what we see is it's a parody, once again, trying to mimic Jesus. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He died and rose again. And here the best that the Antichrist tries to do is somehow try to imitate or to emulate so that he can deceive individuals. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against it? Remember our last message in Isaiah 14, the last time that we were here together, as Cindy did such a wonderful job last week talking to us about the ministry work going on in Ukraine. But Satan wanted the worship that God was receiving. He tried to usurp the throne of God. And so during this time on earth, something has happened, and now he's able to do it. I believe it's because the church has been called up to be with the Lord. Again, you don't have to believe like I do, but something has happened now that there's a shift, that there is this massive deception that is going on throughout the earth. Let's go on to verse 5. And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. This is kind of like in Daniel, 3.5 years. And it opens its mouth and utters blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is those who dwell in heaven. I tell you what, I want you to know that just like before an earthquake, there are usually some tremors. Before the dawning of the Antichrist, we are seeing what 1 John 4:3 says is the spirit of Antichrist that is in the world now. Now, I'm just going to, you know, I was in a phone call this week with another pastor in a different part of the country, a southern part of the country, and he was talking to me about a church event that disquieted his spirit. It was a drag queen bingo night for the entire church, kids, everyone. And you had to be, there were different tickets. There was an 18 and older ticket, and then there was a 17 and younger ticket because they had to get all the kids out for what was about to happen in the late hours. This isn't a church. I tell you, the spirit of Antichrist, I'd like to tell you, is alive now. Now, this is not some type of attack. It's saying that we are called to minister to the sick and the infirmed and to give clothing to the naked. We are called to reach out to individuals. We're called to be loving to those individuals who are lost. We are called to bring sinners the gospel. We are not called to endorse sin. And when a church begins to endorse, or when a religious group begins to endorse sin, they have moved from proclamation of the gospel to blasphemy. I know that's not popular to say now. I know that that's not popular to say. And nor am I trying to target or attack anyone. I'm saying that for us, as believers in Christ, to somehow come to a place to say that our doctrine is somehow malleable, that we embrace society around us, is the spirit of Antichrist, which I'd like you to know is at work today. It is moving and is at work today. I believe it is preparing the way. Just as John the Baptist went to prepare the way for the one who is coming, who is greater, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today, beginning to pave the way. And again, we're talking global issues here. I think of that, and I think of the shortest Bible verse, Jesus wept. Ministry that promotes sin is not ministry, it's blasphemy. And so I want you to know, folks, that I get maligned quite often because I have a biblical concept of sexuality and marriage. It doesn't mean that I'm hateful to people who don't believe. I don't expect sinners to act like saints, but I don't expect saints to act like sinners. Can I get an amen to that at least? There is a difference, and there is coming a difference. And Jesus talks about the end days. And in the end times, it may not be popular when Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. But there are two distinct and different destinations between sheep and goats. And so we are called to promote and to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unapologetically, with love, and with compassion. Again, when I talk like this, people are like, oh, well, you're just a hateful person. No, it would be like me seeing somebody who's getting ready to step off a ledge and I wouldn't say anything. I'd say, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. Let's just keep going. No, eternal destinies are in the balance. And let's keep going. And it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. So some people say, oh, well, it says the saints there, therefore the church was still here. No, I believe that there are people who are, my personal belief is that there are people who are going to come to Christ. I believe that when the church is called up and the church is taken out, that that's going to be a wake-up call for an awful lot of people. That's going to be an awful lot of people who are going to recognize that one day there are all kinds of Christians, the next day Christians were taken up home, that's going to be, maybe I ought to rethink my life. That would make me rethink my life. So I believe there are people who are going to come to Christ. There are people who are going to then strive. And now what's going to happen? It was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name is not been written in the book before the foundation of the world, in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain. All right, gang, don't be fooled. There are persecutions. There are Christians who are already and continue to be persecuted in this day. We don't see it to the level in this nation. I hope it's not coming, but it very well may be coming. But there are many parts in the earth where people just to worship the Lord, their life is put in jeopardy, and we need to remember that. Let's go on to verse 11. Then I saw another beast. So now here's a second beast. So we've just spoken about the Antichrist. Now we're going to talk about his hype man. You know what a hype man is? Hype man, someone who goes along and, you know, and just talks about how great they are and how wonderful and that they're influencing people on their behalf. So Revelation 13, 11. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb and it spoke like a dragon. Here we have the false prophet, the third member of the unholy trinity of the dragon, of the Antichrist, and now the false prophet. He's like a lamb. In other words, he wants to give the appearance that he's all that he is of God. It says, but the voice was like, spoke like a dragon. In other words, the same amount of blasphemy and deception. Verse 12, it exercises all authority over the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword yet lived. We already are in a world that there is a current. There is a force. It is pushing us. If you are not swimming against the current, you're being swept away by the current. Church, that's the purpose of me preaching this series. It's not because I enjoy telling people that I believe that there is an end coming. It's that I really do love you. Sincerely, I really do feel that you're my responsibility, that this community is my responsibility. I can't save anyone, but I can push you to someone who can. And I feel the compulsion and the mandate of God to say, look, examine your life. How are we living? How are we walking? Because there is a move. The spirit of Antichrist is here in the world, and it is sweeping us away towards ungodliness and towards deception. There is a pressure to conform. Let's go on. This gets some interesting stuff here in verse 15. It says, and it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast. So he creates this image of the beast, and then somehow it starts talking. That's, you know, you can see that with technology today. So that the image of the beast might speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Look, this is how I believe that spirit is at work today. We just came out of the past, you know, 3 to 4 years where we had all kinds of social justice moves. And again, I'm all for people being fair, and we can have different conversations on different things. Here's the point. The spirit of Antichrist, I believe we could see, because if you didn't say exactly what the mass wanted you to say, you would be canceled. Your business would be boycotted. You would come to economic ruin unless you went along with the masses. That's not unlike what happened in Nazi Germany. The spirit of the majority of people, they're always right. No, they're not. Hogwash. They are not always right. People are idiots. Lots of people make stupid decisions. Oh, Lord, help us. Well, so I think back to what's happened here in our nation over the past few years, and how mob mentality and rule happens, and how it happens in various centers, and how it targets intellectual centers and then disseminates it out. If you don't go along with the masses, then we're going to take away your ability to have commerce and to make to buy and to sell. Verse 16, and it causes all, both small and great, and both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand and the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast, the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, which is the number 666. Okay, that's what most people think the book of Revelation is about, this one verse. I'm telling you, look, what is the book of Revelation about, gang? Oh, come on, please. We're going to have to rewind this entire series. The first words, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is not about the beast. This book is not about the Antichrist. This book is not about the false prophet. This book is about Jesus Christ. Okay? And what happens is the beast, so the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet try to get in the way so that we don't look at Jesus Christ. So he's letting us know about our enemy. And by the way, let's just do a little contextualization here about the mark of the beast on the wrist and on the forehead. Do you remember the sermon before my last sermon before sabbatical? How many of you say, if anybody says yes, I'll give you a cookie? I did a sermon, what? The sermon before my last sermon before sabbatical. So the penultimate sermon. Yeah, you're going to look it up. I talked about the Shema. How many of you remember the Shema? The Shema was a Hebrew prayer that was said in morning at night. It was a dedication from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength." Okay? That was to be said every morning. You're to wake up and have this Hebrew prayer of dedication of your allegiance to God. And you are to do it again at night. But when you wake up and when you go down, you're making your allegiance to God. And they were, in verse 8, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 8, it says you're to make this as a symbol and have it upon your wrist and your forehead. The mark of the beast is the anti-Shema. Bam! It wants you to have allegiance to man, not God. Six is the number of man. On the sixth day, man was born. Man, man, man. 666. Guys, it's focus on this humanistic entity. Now, also understand a couple things, contextualization here. So point one, let's get to our points because y'all want to get on today. So in the last days, one must choose between faithfulness to God or conformity to the world. That's what Revelation is about, is be faithful. Be faithful. Why? Because I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. Don't focus on looking for the beast. Don't focus on looking for the Antichrist. Don't focus on looking for the false prophet. Don't focus on looking at what 666 means. Focus on Jesus Christ. Because that's what's going to keep you faithful. I know Christians, remember I say there are two types of Christians, those who never read Revelation, those who only read Revelation. Because they're looking at Revelation as a science fiction movie, and it is very, very interesting reading. And we focus on the wrong things, gang. You're missing the forest through the trees. This is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, because Jesus will be revealed in the end times, and we need to be faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. The mark of the beast, 666, is also a numerical. So it's a numerical tool because letters have numbers, and the number Nero, actually Neron Caesar, if you add those numbers out, it comes to 666. I'm not saying that was the only one. I'm saying that was one of them. Again, the spirit of Antichrist is here. And I will tell you, by the way, every election cycle, and I mean in my last decade that I have been aware of this, or last two decades, every election cycle, some Christian somewhere wants to figure out how some political figure's name fits into 666. Let me give you, I hear it all the time. Oh, they'll use different slogans and they'll add them up and then they'll put it on the internet. And if you read it on the internet, you know it's true. right? Because there's nothing but truth on the internet. I was on Twitter. Well, that means it's really true. It's been fact-checked. Here's the deal, gang. It will be deceptive. It will be deceptive. Our focus, we need to focus on the right things. It's also, so in Hebrew, the name Nero Caesar, Neron Caesar comes out to 666. Also in Greek, the name the beast comes out to 666. We also have the anti-Shema. We have all this stuff. So there is going to be some deception. The big point that we need to understand is in the last days, one must choose between faithfulness to God or conformity to the world. So I got to tell you, it went through my mind. Anytime someone tells me that I have to do something to have commerce, it triggers something in my mind. And I am a bit of a conspiracy theorist. I will just tell you that up front. I don't like it. I don't like people telling me that I have to do this so that I am able to buy and sell things, because it makes you think. And I think as a Christian, you should be thinking. I think you shouldn't just go with the flow, because wide is the path that leads to destruction. Many are going there. And narrow is the way that leads to salvation, and few will find it. Jesus Christ. Okay? Going on to verse 14. Then I saw, so now what's going to happen? What's going to happen here? Because we're going to need to kind of warp speed here. Verse 14, 6 through 12. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, let's all read this, gang. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea to the springs of water. Do you think this message was going to go over well? This is the message. This is the eternal gospel. I tell you what, there is a hatred that is alive in the world today. I believe it's because the spirit of Antichrist is here that hates it. When you try to show people the love, I've talked to my kids who are in college, and they've been amazed that there are so many people on campus that they encounter that just have a hatred towards Christians. And I will say that there are a lot of Christians who have earned that label. Okay, I'm just going to tell you, there are a lot of Christians who forget about the love of God and want to get political and want to get angry and want to get, who add all kinds of stuff to their Christianity instead of just Jesus Christ. All right? So we add all these other things, and then we act in an ungodly manner, and then we wonder why that happens. Well, let's go on here. Verse 8, and another angel, a second angel followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, she who made all nations drink the wine of her passion and her sexual immorality. It's interesting that this sexual immorality is such a major factor here in the end times. Okay? Verse 9, going on. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink in the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. Here is a call. Let's all read verse 12 together. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Mind you again, in the last days, you must choose between faithfulness to God or conformity to the world. Everybody happy now today? This is a lovely portion of scripture. We're all just so wonderful. Let's go have brunch, okay? Yeah. Look, you must choose. You must choose. Because there are those who will reject the Lamb. So my next point is God's judgment will be poured out on Satan and those who reject Jesus. By the way, those people who want to use this, well, God must not be a very loving God if there's a hell. So that impeaches God and his character's bad. Newsflash, hell wasn't created for people. Hell was never created for people. In fact, in Matthew it says that hellfire and judgment was created for the devil and his fallen angel. It wasn't created. So why do people, because they don't want to be with God. If people want to reject God, there's not another place. You don't want to be with God, Here is what it is like without God. Suffering, pain, and no end to torment. That's what it's like in the ultimate, the end without God. So God, Revelation chapter 19. Let's going to jump ahead here. Revelation chapter 19. After this, I heard that seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out. Let's all read this. Ready? Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Okay, so there is going to be judgment poured out on those who reject Jesus. Okay, this is an important thing. We see these bowls of judgment in Revelation 16, 17, and Revelation 18, this judgment that's on the earth. And yet we see that God is victorious. There's this battle at the Valley of Armageddon where God, people, these nations surround Israel. And yet we find out that the Lamb wins. So let's kind of read this. God's blessings, next point, God's blessings are on the faithful. So we got two distinct judgments, two destinies. And God's blessings are going to be on the faithful. Revelation 16, 9, 6 through 9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Hallelujah, gang. I'm telling you, this is a dinner we were invited to. This is the good stuff. This is a blessing for us. It says verse 8, it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I believe that this is the raptured church. While these things are going on here on earth, we are enjoying the wedding supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah, man, I'd like to sit by you. We'll share a meal together with the risen Lord. Let's go on and read more about it. Then I saw Revelation 19, 11. 7 through 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, the one sitting on it, is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen, white and pure. This is us, gang. We're following him on white horses. I'm not a good horse rider, but I tell you what, I'm sure it's going to be okay in glory. All right? Shanna, you're going to have to help me. All right. From his mouth comes a sharp sword which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Going on, then I saw a beast and the king of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured. This isn't even a battle, gang. This is a wipeout. That, you see, Satan lies and wants you to believe that somehow Satan is God's equal. We talked about this last night. No, he's not. Well, the devil is Jesus' equal. No, he's not. You know, we could go maybe over to Michael the Archangel. And Michael the Archangel won simply by saying, the Lord rebuke you. That wasn't a very intense battle. He invoked the name and the character and the righteousness of God. Therefore, God wins, period. His good stuff. Verse 20, and the beast was captured, and the false prophet who was in his presence had done mighty signs, which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. You don't want to make a summer home here. This is eternal burning of fire and sulfur. And all the rest were slain with a sword, came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Wow, that's descriptive. Then verse 20, we see a 1,000-year reign of Christ and the redeemed. So guess what, church? This my belief in the timeline is that we are called up to be with him. If that's not your belief, that's fine. If you endure, if we die during the persecution, regardless, the saints come back with Jesus. You know, we have those weddings, feasts of the Lamb. We come back with Jesus. We secure this this victory. The Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. And for 1,000 years, Christ and the saints reign here on earth. Praise God. Let's see, 20 verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So the false prophet and the Antichrist are in the lake of fire, and Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and he is in the bottomless pit. Two different things. Satan isn't the final judgment yet. 1,000 years need to go by, and then Satan is released, and then he is ultimately judged. So let's read about that. Verse 2, and he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil, and Satan, bound him for 1,000 years, threw him into a pit, and shut it and sealed it over him, that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Is this literal or figurative 1,000 years? Would you like to know? I don't know. I don't know. It says it, so if it's written, I believe it. Going on, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years were ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sands of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, that beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then what happens to the goats? What happens to all those individuals? We see the great white throne judgment. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From the presence of the earth, the sky fled away. No place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in these books according to what they had done. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. That is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the judgment for the unrighteous. Okay? So what happened with the saints? Well, this is, we go to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Paul says that we're destined to die once and to face judgment. I tell you what, gang, there are these two judgments. There's a judgment for the unrighteous, the goats, which we're seeing here, this great white throne judgment, and the judgment for the righteous, where we stand before Christ and we are judged according to our actions. And our judgment is not for damnation, but rewards. We think, well, I haven't lived a perfect life. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? That's why I'm so desperate to put my faith in Jesus, because I know that without Jesus, I have no chance. But let's end it on this note, gang. Let's end it on this note. We who put our faith and trust in Jesus, this is the reward that we have to look forward to. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. Let's all read this together. It should say then. Okay. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Church fam, I invite you to continue to read on about the new heaven, the new earth. It is a place, and choir can go ahead and come on up while we're wrapping this up. Church family, this is all about knowing that he is coming soon. The apocalypse, this revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, there are tough times coming. There are tough times coming. There are tough times coming on the earth. But those who remain faithful to God, to those who remain faithful to God, there is a new heaven, there is a new earth. And what we read is that every tear will be wiped away. No more sickness. How many of you are feeling the effects of time and age on your body? Come on, somebody. I'm looking for a glorified body that God's going to give us. Amen. I'm looking for no suffering, for no sickness, for no pain. Anybody else? I tell you what, the final thought, if you go to that last slide, we read throughout Revelation, "Behold, I am coming soon." Go ahead and go to that last slide if you would, bud. "Behold, I am coming soon." That is the essence of the book of Revelation. Jesus said it over and over. "Behold, I am coming soon." In other words, behold, look around, I'm coming soon. And if you're like me and you're looking around and you're seeing what's going on in this world and you're thinking, I'm troubled, don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, as John said in John chapter 14. I want to encourage you. I want to edify you. And I want you to stand in these last days. Stand for the King of Kings. Stand for
the First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.